From 99.9 The Fan, this is The Drive with Tim Donnelly. Sponsored by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at CapitalFinancialUSA.com.
I have to be honest, I was hoping we'd start off this Monday recapping the first round for the Carolina Hurricanes.
Previewing the Rangers series.
Thought we'd be looking ahead, talking about how long the break was going to be before the first round and the second round. Alas, that is not the case. We have NFL draft to get to, and the Canes lost in overtime with a closeout opportunity on the line in Game 4 against the Islanders. They were up 3-0. Here's a few things frustrating me about this. One, closing out series in overtime is what the Canes do. Four of their last seven series wins have been closed out in overtime. So when they scored their second goal to go and it's tied and it's in the third period, I was like, it's perfect. This is what they do. They're going to go to overtime. They're going to end it. Didn't happen. Was there a lack of blood being smelled in the water by the Canes? Ahead 3-0. Once you get ahead 3-0, it really is just, all right, close the door. All right, send them home. Is there concern about not getting the sweep? First of all, let's hear from Rod Brind'Amour on any worries about not finishing it in four games.
Well, of course they do. I mean, it's only natural. I mean, they're back in it. They got, we gave them some hope here now. So now it's tough to, we talked about before, it is tough to win four games in a row on someone. And, especially when the games are even like they are. I mean, it's not like it was 3-0 and we were dominating the games. It could have went either way in all three, just like tonight could have easily went the other way. So we expected it to be a long series, and we got to focus on the next one.
I don't know if they actually expected it to be a long series. After you go up 3-0, after you go ahead 1-0 in the clincher, after you fight back from being down 2-1, force overtime, losing multiple overtimes. It's not just about screaming about what happened. Sometimes it is about what happened. And make no mistake about it, like, Matt Barzal had a good day. He's a good player. Occasionally that's going to happen, right? He's going to put himself in good situations. He's going to get the benefit of deflections every now and then. It's part of the most frustrating thing for me watching hockey. I'm going to start calling it almost the hockey thing. The hockey thing happened to the Canes. Mm-hmm. Like, you can play very well for a long period of time and have nothing to show for it. Right? You can dominate for 25 minutes of consecutive gameplay where it feels like you're in your offensive zone for a long time and then walk away like 1-1 over that 25 minutes.
Or you can not play well at all and all of a sudden you're up 2-1 or 2-0.
Yeah. It's just... The other, yeah. So, you don't complain about the hockey thing when the hockey thing benefits you, Dennis.
Yeah.
Then it's well-executed opportunistic play. Duh. Like, Freddie played well in the game.
Oh, he played great.
Gensel and Jarvis each had a point.
Mm-hmm.
Nason, which you heard in the intro, got in his office and had kind of the dirty work goal that he's come up with a few times. They created opportunities in extra time. Right, they created opportunities to go get that series clinching overtime win. Just didn't convert. So there really is two ways to decipher what happened in Game 4. One is you had all these opportunities, you played this quality of hockey, and you weren't able to close the door. And as any old timer will tell you, the good teams find a way to close the door. The other part of it is, They're a professional hockey postseason team also, right? They're going to come up with their versions of the hockey thing, right? They're not sitting there saying Matt Barzal got lucky. They're not sitting there saying, oh, the Canes just had bad breaks. They're sitting there saying, well-executed, well-played, well-timed, opportunistic hockey in a do-or-die situation for them. They were more dangerous because they had nothing to lose, because their backs were against the wall.
Like that fourth win's always the hardest one.
Yeah, the closeout.
The closeout's always the most difficult.
Everyone fights harder when they're down to their last breath. Like that's fair. I do think, and this is unfair and very media of me, I think I will decide how upset I am about Game 4 after Game 5. Right? Because what are the reasons why you want to slam the door in Game 4 and get out of there with the sweep? One is because the Rangers did it. And you want to be as rested as they are going into the next series. You don't want to give up a huge advantage. I don't think you do that by playing one more game in game five. Right? You're not giving up a huge advantage because you're going to have enough time to get fully rested back to 100% by the start of the second series. However, if it drags into game six, you do start asking those questions of, oh, no, now do they have the fatigue advantage? Why is it so important to close out game four? Well, it doesn't expose you to injuries in game five. If you make it through game five with a win so you don't drag it out and you don't get more tired, and you make it into the second series without any significant injuries or notable owies or boo-boos, then okay, we can look back at game four and go no harm, no foul. Right? Oh, that shot went, what was it, off the knob of the goalie? All right. No harm, no foul. But if it drags on, if you don't use it as an urgency builder, if you don't go into game five better off because of game four, then I'm going to look back at game four and I'm going to be really mad about it. I'm going to be going, how were you that close? How did you have the 1-0 early lead? How did you have all these opportunities and not finish it off? So I like occasionally you have to admit, right? This is a very media thing to do.
Well, of course.
But I am withholding my anger on game four until I see the results of game five tomorrow at PNC. If all we get is a dominant victory at home that the fans get to enjoy and another day to tailgate, we'll be out in front of PNC right there on the concourse area tomorrow.
Yeah.
If all we get is another day to hang out with the fans and no harm, no foul, I have no problem with game four.
Yeah, we'll be out there on the plaza.
If you knock on wood, throw the salt over your shoulder if you are a superstitious person. If there's an injury, then I'm going to be like, I don't care that we got another day to be out there on the plaza. I don't care that we got another, like, then it becomes, that's the reason why you end them early. And make no mistake about it, as well as Freddie is playing, and we're going to dive into the decision that they've made to fully trust him as their, not only their goalie one, but their goalie goat, like he's the guy, the only, the first, the only, the always. Just because he's playing well doesn't mean you want to go, all right, he'll play every third day from now until forever. Let's just go ahead and trot him out there because he's playing well. Like, he's still a guy that took 3.5-4 months off in the middle of the year for the blood clotting issue, and he's still a guy that has not built up full game-style, every-game endurance. If you can end it early and make sure he's well-rested for Game 1 of Game 2 or Game 1 of Series 2, you do that. But I'm not going to get mad. I will probably get mad at some point today, but my anger is not to the level that it might be if tomorrow doesn't go well.
Well, when the series went to New York, I think you and I both said, yeah, the Islanders are probably going to win one of these two games so they can come back and win in game five. So it's breaking exactly how we predicted.
That might be the least media thing I'm doing here today, which is my prediction before this season was 4-1. My prediction was in five games, and I'm still sitting here saying I wish they did it in three. So I'm putting what I think is best for the Canes over being right, which is the least media thing you can do on the planet.
Hey, I said Canes in six, so.
So, yeah, we're both still alive with our predictions, but I think both of us are doing putting our fandom over our media ego and saying we'd rather have what's best for the team than be right. And you'd be surprised how many people in sports media would rather be right over just about everything else. Just about any and everything else. Thank you for listening to the Best of the Drive podcast. I'm Tim Donnelly here with Coach Pete of Capital Financial Advisory Group. Coach, is it still true that $1 million is enough to retire on?
Tim, maybe and maybe not. The most important thing is to get a real plan that gives you income you never outlive. We'll give that away to the next 10 people. Call right now.
The number to call, 800-691-3215. Text TIM to 600-700 if you're interested in texting. Once again, that phone number is 800-691-3215 or text TIM to 600-700 for that deal. It's Freddie's net. Piotr's just the backup. And now I'm along for the ride.
Yeah.
Now I am along for the ride. There were things that I think the Canes could have done better in game four. Freddie has been pretty darn consistent as far as being a bright spot, right? Jump to the Aho clip.
Sure.
Here's Aho on the team feeling like they need to do more.
I mean, I know that we have more, but, you know, having said that, I think we did had enough chances to score a couple of goals there, but it doesn't always go our way. There's another level, and we need to get there.
There's another level. I don't think that necessarily – I mean, obviously, if Freddie wants to go post shutouts, but you have to be pleased with the way he's looked through four games. He played great. He has played great. And guess what they are now? They are past the point of no return. I was in favor, and I said it on air. I was on record, so no backtracking or flip-flopping here. I was on record saying I think they should have included Pyotr Kochetkov more in the postseason net rotation. Through four games, they have played Pyotr Kochetkov nothing. It's been Freddie's net. He has owned it, and he's played well. It looks like the right decision, right? It looks like this should be a situation where I raise my hand and go, that's my bad, that's on me. Way to go, Rod. But we won't know if it's the right decision until the marathon is over. If there's one thing years like last year for the Carolina Hurricanes, and every year it's reminded again and again, if there's one thing you could have learned from a year like last year, it's that the NFL, of course, the draft was yesterday, 2 days ago, the NHL playoffs are a marathon. They are a long, arduous, tiring beast of a challenge, right? The NHL playoffs are a marathon. So it's really hard to judge a team like the Canes on their decisions after a sprint. Four games in NHL playoff terms is a sprint, right? You're not even, if it's a mile race, you're not even one time around the track yet. If it's a mile race, you're just getting started on the backstretch of your first time around the track. And a decision like, hey, we're going to play Freddie every waking moment that he is rested enough to do so, is not a decision that is like, that's just for this bit, right? That's a decision that impacts the whole race.
Are you ready for the big game? At The Designery, we can help you arrange your kitchen in the perfect way to feed everyone coming over for the big game. I'm Dana Merrill, the owner of The Designery in North Raleigh.
And I am True Merrill. I am the project manager.
The Designery is a lovely kitchen, bath, and closet remodeling company. We do pretty much any of the utility spaces in your house. If you want to store things in your cabinets, if you want to work on things on your countertops, if you want to have a floor that can get wet or muddy, we're the place to help you fix your home up.
We are the Designery North Raleigh, located at 3030 Wake Forest Road in the Holly Park Plaza. We would love to see you, or visit our website at thedesignery.com.
I'm a big Steve Prefontaine fan, so this is one of those timely references that comes from the 1972 Olympics in Munich.
Oh, okay.
Very, very topical and
hip
and now. But he was a guy, he ran the 1600, right? He was a miler, if you will. He did not ever pace. He was go, full out sprinting. And he would say so in the pre-race media. He'd go, well, I'm going to run as fast as my body will allow me to run from the opening starting gun. And if someone else wants to run with me, good luck to him. Well, guess what? He held every American record from the 1600 to the 8000. The dude was an unreal distance runner. And in his first Olympics, did not even finish on the podium. You know why? Because everyone else simply chilled and then kicked past him on the final lap. That's what you're worried about with something like playing Freddie Anderson every single game. He played, 10 games in the regular season after his extended absence for the blood clotting issue, and none of those games were on back-to-back appearances. Now he's played back-to-back-to-back-to-back appearances.
Tommy Mansky would be proud.
Tommy Mansky, you want to talk about timely and topical references. For those of you that watched ESPN in 1998, you know all about Fred McGriff and Tommy Mansky on those infomercials. But also, if you were in Little League at the time, you know at one point in time you threw a cutoff throw into a trash can. We all did. It's my point is this. It's working. Freddie in net, it's working. because Freddie is playing great. And Freddie doesn't look fatigued. And Freddie is stopping a whole bunch of pucks. And Freddie made a couple key stops in overtime that gave the Canes additional opportunities to close out the game. I'm also going to say this. If Freddie looks exhausted in the Eastern Conference Finals, I may take a little victory lap on my take. And that's not it. I hope it doesn't happen. Again, that's my media mind creeping into my fandom mind. But the marathon of it all is just getting started. And fatigue is not something you measure in game four of a postseason run. Fatigue is something you measure in months of a postseason run. Piotr, stay ready. Because the only time Piotr Kochetkov is going to go into the game is when Freddie needs a breather, right? It's the, like, ready for a, you'll appreciate this.
Okay.
I'm not a huge wrestling guy. I didn't watch them all. Don't have them all memorized. Don't know everything that's like fun. You do. But I do get the feeling that in certain tag team matches, the one that's not in the ring is a little too eager to go into the ring. They're, like, leaning over with their hand out, like, come on, come on. And person in the ring's like, I got this. Chill, bud. Like, it does feel like there's a little bit of that where Kochetkov, he's done nothing. I'm just talking about my own observations of how competitives are.
Be ready for that hot tag and clear the ring. Let's go.
He's out there like, come on, come on, tag me in. Freddie's like, I'm playing well right now. let me see how this goes. Kochetkov has to be the guy eagerly reaching out with his hand. Like, tag me in, tag me in.
I think it's benefited Freddie in the fact that through multiple times this series, there's been 2 days off between games. So you get that extra day of rest. So that's happened multiple times, or it's going to be happening multiple times between games four and five as well. So you get that extra day. And I think also as well, this is something I said going into the playoffs, is that the way Freddie, because I talked to Tripp Tracy about this, the way Freddie approached the blood clotting issue and him getting back was like a restart to his regular season. Or like restart, like, so basically when he was able to start skating and come back, it was like his preseason is how he treated it. So for him, he's now getting into that midseason form where you can start back-to-back games. Like, he's built up to that. So really, he's built his way up to being able to do what he's doing right now. And with the extra days off a couple times between games, you roll with it. And if you close things out tomorrow, my guess is game one isn't until, what, Sunday? Maybe Monday next week. That's a ton of time to get your body right again.
I completely, and that's part of the reason why I think it's extremely important they close it out in game five. It eliminates travel. It keeps everybody fresh, and Freddie amongst them is the one of the guys that needs to be the freshest. The freshest. So fresh and so clean. Shout out to Outkast.
I chose William Peace because of the personalized education it offers, which allows students to truly know their professors. It's really possible to make genuine connections with your professors and learn intentionally here and dive deep into what you're passionate about.
A 12-to-1 student to faculty ratio is just one of the many reasons students choose William Peace University. Extra attention starts day one for career planning with their Career Services Center. Find out all they have to offer at peace.edu.